Well, welcome back to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, another special edition of the From the Horse's Mouth, in that we're going to be continuing our festival focus. Yes, Cheltenham is finished, but there's plenty of spring festivals to focus. And today, I'm delighted to say we're going to be talking about the Ferry House Irish Grand National Festival with none other than Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey, our regular partners in crime. Ruby Walsh, how are you?
Wonderful, PK, yourself?
Oh, I am absolutely flying. The sun is out. We're going to get some sort of level of easing of restrictions sort of later on today. I'm absolutely flying. Frank Hickey, how are you?
Not bad. We're just talking about the hair. It's growing back. It was a bit cold over the weekend. Never suffered from being the cold ever before. But
for those who missed last weekend's podcast, Frank Hickey has shaved his head and like a zero, not the proper, like actually, do you have to put the shaving cream on and everything? And then like,
I didn't do a wet shave, but I just got the machine with no cover on it. Oh, it was nothing left. Yeah.
Did you?
I think, Frank, I think PK has been too worried about your head, like to actually be living in the real world today. Like the latest leak today, PK, is that no change on April the 5th.
On April 5th.
It's coming next Monday. Yeah. on April 12th, you might be able to move around within your county. So they just bought a week. So you're telling us there's good news coming later today, but I hate to break it to you. There's no news coming to later today.
Ruby, I'm glass half full.
Yeah.
If I get my whole county at April 12th, I'll take that. But that said, I would rather go south. I'm in the south side of Dublin. Probably you would have guessed that from the accent. And I'd rather get into Wicklow, but I'm on the like Wicklow border now. I can go to Howth, but you know, I don't really want to go to Howth. So I'd rather 30K than the full county.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Exactly. If you lived in Cork, fantastic. You're going to go to West Cork now for the weekend. That's great. Like, Frank, you'd love it.
But you can't go this weekend. It's the following weekend.
Okay, whenever it is. Jeez, April 12th.
It's 2 weekends away, actually.
I know, but can you imagine being a Cork man kept away from Cork for the guts of a year?
That is tough on you.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you're very concerned about
that's life-changing experience, I call that.
Aren't you lucky you don't have to go back down there?
I can't wait to go back down. But you're very concerned with the outside of my head. If you could see what was going on the inside of my head, PK, that'd be a podcast all on its own.
Well, you didn't get burnt, did you? You know, they all have to put the old slap on your head now. You put the old sun cream.
My missus is actually saying to me that I'm the first person I've ever seen with freckles on the top of my head. And I reckon that's from years of cadding down the old head of Kinsale with no hat.
You must have picked up a few quid off the Yanks when you were a caddy in there. Isn't that like 400 quid around in there?
It might be something around that. I did all right. Now one of my brothers did extremely well out of it. He got taken to by private jet to Toronto and to the Bahamas to play golf by a member he is caddy for. Unbelievable stuff.
Hang on, so he was a caddy. But the person he caddied for, not a professional, I'm assuming, decided to bring him back.
He's a professional bullshitter now. That's what he is. If he managed to blag his way onto a jet to Toronto, to the Bahamas, to carry a golf bag, he should have been a full-time politician. Is he running the country, no?
He wouldn't do a bad job. But he wasn't even to caddy. He just became friendly with these guys. He was played your head regularly, and they took him over on a holiday to Toronto. Now, these guys are just, you know, they'd make Ruby look poor. They're so wealthy. Took him down to the Bahamas then to play golf himself on holiday for a week. And they didn't invite my brother's missus at all, just him.
Lads only. Oh, yeah.
And of course, and of course, being the gentleman that he is, he decided to turn it down because his wife couldn't come with him.
She was like, Frank Dan's been gone there for 3 days. Where is he?
We hope he'll send you some pictures. My God. There you go. We're supposed to be talking about Ferry House in the Irish Grand National, but that was a lovely introduction to what is going to be, I suppose, the second of four major festivals from Cheltenham all the way through to Punchestown. And Aintree it's on the horizon, but the Irish Grand National slotting in just a week before on this occasion. Ruby, the Irish Grand National, it is a race which holds a special place, I would imagine, in your heart for a lot of reasons, and those reasons mainly Comanche Court, number 6 Valverde and Borough Saint.
Yeah, look, it was a lucky race for me. Won 3 of them, was touched off in a couple as well. PK was second a couple of times too, but yeah, it is a wonderful race. Great race when Ferry House is packed to the rafters. It's definitely a meeting that, you know, transcends north and south. A lot of people come south for it from the north. It's usually a very, very good day out, and wonderful race to win. Brilliant race to win.
I remember going as a youngster, and I couldn't understand. It was the only meeting. It's funny you say that. It's the only meeting where these massive buses would come down, and a bunch of lads with about 6 or 7 crates of Harp Lager would come out and talking in this funny northern accent. I said, "Why do all the northerners come down for this? What is it about this meeting?"
I don't know what the answer to that question is, yeah. But they surely did, and the great atmosphere there. Big race. Look, 2 full circuits of Ferry House. Fences are always freshly packed. Takes a bit of jumping. Have to stay, you know. And it's a race that can produce any kind of a result. But look, it was a lucky race for me, and I'm still the last person to win it.
Yeah, that's a great shout. Fair play to you. Yeah, that's a great shout. Let's go back to that first win, Comanche Court. What a horse! Won the Irish Nationals, a maiden over fences. Obviously, Rule the World did that at Aintree, but that is such a rarity. And then actually followed up in the Punchdown Gold Cup just 9 days later. That is some horse.
Yeah, look, it was an incredible, I suppose, 4-month period in our lives as a family. Papillon had won in Aintree, of course, a couple of weeks before. Comanche Court turned up in Ferry House. His previous run had been in the Arkell, where he got brought down by Frozen Groom when he was starting to stay on. But look, I think from halfway, there was only going to be one winner. He was going so easy. Fox Chapel King was in front, but he jumped like a buck and he won as he wanted. And then 9 days later, as he said, pulled out and won the Heineken Gold Cup in Punchestown. But that was a magical period in all our lives.
In your house in particular, speaking of your house, when you won on number 6 Valverde, you just nipped the horse trained by your dad, Jack High. So was there interesting conversations after that?
I'd say it's one of those wins, PK, that I probably don't look back on too much. It was professional. I was employed to do a job by Martin Braslin, Bernie Carroll, and number 6 Valverde won. But was there any satisfaction in beating a horse trained by your dad? No.
Yeah.
It was just, I was paid to do a job and I did my job. But it was great to win it, and it was great for Martin and for Bernie Carroll. But I can't say I ever got much satisfaction out of it.
No, that's fair. That's refreshingly honest as well, because it's something I don't think any other family would ever go through. That is like crazy to beat your father in such an important race, and a race that you guys have such a wonderful history. Your sister Katie, of course, as well. Frank, let's talk about money.
Oh yeah, I just to say, Comanche Court's a horse. I know Ruby obviously would love him for obvious reasons. Which, believe me, the first bet I ever had was I had a pound of my pocket money in boarding school on Comanche Court for the Triumph Hurdle at 9-1, and I won £10, and I was never so happy. It was amazing. So was horse I never, first ever bet. I think I was either 15 or 16, and one of the lads would come around and take your money that you wanted to bet on to go down to Cashlands in Blackpool and put a bet on for you if you wanted. So that was the first bet I ever had.
I wonder what the correlation. Yeah, wonder what the correlation between a winning first ever bet and getting stuck into racing as a profession slash, you know, either side of the bookmaking fence. I wonder what the correlation is there, because I think my first bet was the Aldeniti colours in the National years ago, but it wasn't Aldeniti, obviously. It wasn't live then. And the horse was pulled up and I didn't become a trader. And maybe that's a result. In terms of the betting on the Intergrand National, Frank, I assume it's a very popular race.
The Irish Grand National, is it?
Sorry, did I say Angie? I meant the Irish, obviously.
Oh yeah, of course it is. Look, it doesn't get the same sort of turnover as you would have for the Angie Grand National, but I think the Angie Grand National is, it's up all year. As soon as the Grand National is over, you've put it back up, so people are, you know, looking at horses that might have performed well and potentially going to Angie or tipping away it. Well, the Irish one, I think we've only got the betting up maybe 10 days, I think. 2 weeks maybe, but it's still very popular. Like, turnover would be brisk, and so far Tiger Roll is the one they want to be on, which is interesting. I thought he would be an unlikely runner, and they had mentioned going to Aintree for the bowl, was it? And
yeah,
now it's 50-50 between the two of them, so yeah, they might catch me out here if he takes his place.
They'll do what everyone says they shouldn't do, but we will have to wait and see if someone puts that to them. It's a funny race. It's hard to find the winner. I think for punters, we've had 50-1 and 33-1 winners. I think we've had 3 50-1 winners in the last 12 years. So tricky enough one to find winners, Frank. To be fair for the punters, but they're still popular.
Oh yeah, we still in the last 6 or 7 years, we've had 3 winning favourites as well in Borough, St. Jared, Duke, and Shut the Front Door. So it hasn't been a complete disaster for punters. But yeah, I can throw up one as a price. But,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I wonder what Tiger. We'll get to Tiger Roll, but Ruby, let's talk about what type of horse you need to win an Irish Grand National. And the three times you won it, the three things in common with those three horses. Novices, and it is something that is always said. No, I think it's for three winners you had were novices. Yeah, so do you have to? Well, obviously, you don't have to, but is it an advantage to be a novice at this stage of the season in the Irish?
To me, it's where you start. And look, Frank mentioned three horses there that have been winning favourites in the last couple of years. Our Duke, Borough Saint, and Shut the Front Door, but Our Duke and Borough Saint were novices. I think it's a race for novices. It's that time of the year. Some of them should have plenty of experience under their belt and still be ahead of the handicapper. I'd always did try to ride novices in it, and I would still pick novices when I'm trying to give a tip for it. I just think they are ahead of the handicapper, or should be ahead of the handicapper.
And that's amazing, because it's 3 miles, 5 furlongs. I'm assuming at a fairly good pace for the trip. You know, it's just not the type of race you think a novice would excel in. But you're saying it's just they're handicapped. Probably they haven't got to their ceiling, essentially, as their rating, and as a result.
Yeah, exactly. But look, distance shouldn't be shouldn't be an issue for any horse at this time of the year. It's not like you're asking a novice who's unexposed and learning his trade to jump to go this trip in November. You have to have had at least 3 runs over fences to run the race. Most of them will have more than that, 4, maybe even 5. So you're talking about horses that have a lot of mileage under their belts and are, in theory, still novices. But they're basically handicappers with a novice title. And because a lot of them won't have run an open handicap company, they're a little unexposed. Now, obviously, Cocoa Beach is one of the test days, so the handicapper should have been able to assess him. Run Wild Fred was second in the Tiestes, but there's a pile more of them in there, like Espinito Bello of Barry Connell's, just the 4 runs over fences, a cracking run on his last start in Navan. Like, he's unexposed and could be improving. Like, there's a load of novices in there, and that's why, like, fair play if Tiger Roll takes his chance here with 11 stone 9, off a rating of 163. It's going to be a Desert Auker style performance if he can win.
Ooh, Desi and Tiger. Let's talk about Willie Mullins' entries, or at least a few of them. I think there's about 9 as we speak. Looking at the betting as we speak, Ruby, Augusta Gold is the shortest of those. Number 21 in the race card. So lovely racing weight. Would he be probably the best of the Mullins?
She will, and she'll have a nice race and weight, PK, providing Tiger all runs. Because if he comes out, Galvin is number 2. So it's a rise of £9. I don't know if they'll go to 11.7 as the top weight to bring the bottom ones in, or does the top weight have to go to 11.10? I'm not sure of that yet, but I just haven't looked up the conditions. But I think you could be looking at a £10 rise. And if you put £10 onto 10.6 of Augusta Gold, that brings her all the way to 11.2. So that's a different weight on your back. It's a completely different race. So as well as Tiger Roll, from Frank's point of view, with the book, whether he runs or not, how that fares. Also, the makeup of this race really depends on whether Tiger Roll runs or not. Because so many horses, like you've mentioned, like Augusta Gold with 10 stone 6, Cocoa Beach with 10.10, Run Wild Fred with 10 stone. I mean, those horses are chucked in here if Tiger Roll runs. But all of a sudden, he comes out and you put £10 more on all of their backs and you're looking below them again.
Augusta Gold is the shortest price, I said, of the Willie Mullins entries. Other ones there, Brahma Bull, some big prices for the Willie Mullins versus Cabaret Queen, Dragon Destraval.
Yeah, look, Brahma Bull would have to jump better and jump his haste as he pulled up. Cabaret Queen ran in Cheltenham in the Mayor's Chase last week, got hopelessly outpaced and pulled up. Dragon Destraval was tailed off in a point of point in his last start. He has to improve incredibly on that. Lord Royal travelled well for a long way in the 4 mile, or the National Hunt Chase that is now, and cut out. Salsaretta's in the Mayor's Chase there. The day before Saturdays, if he hadn't run an ace, you'd say, yeah, he's a great chance for it in the Tiestes. But he did run in the Leinster National, and that was a pretty poor effort. Maybe dry ground would help him. Robin DiCarlo hasn't run in nearly, the last time she ran, she'd be put the kettle on. But that's 18 months ago, 500 and whatever amount of days that is. It is good form, but off that sort of a layoff, I know Willie Mullins is training her, but that'll be one hell of a trend of performance to win a race like this with the experience she has off that sort of a layoff. So, yeah, I'd say when you look down through them, Augusta Gold having her first run for Willie. She was trained by Mags Mullins, would look the one. She'd a good win here in a Mayor's Chase in Fairy House in January, I think it was. Ran okay then in the hurdle race in Navan after that, where she was fourth behind Damalesque. She's obviously a better chaser than she was hurdler. First run for Willie Mullins. Can she have improved? Time will tell.
I should have gone down the Paddy Power route and called her an it when I called her a him earlier on. Paddy Power just goes, ah, it, that yoke, that thing. Frank, let's talk about Tyrrell because he is a huge part of the market. You had a kind of a glint in your face when you were talking earlier for the benefit of those listening, suggesting that maybe we kind of got it wrong as a company when we were dangling, was it double figure odds?
Well, you say we as a company, I priced it up. So basically,
okay,
on my head, and B, I suppose when you're pricing up, you're kind of going, what price are you going to go off, do you think, by what price you need to run in the race? And I suppose I was making them, you know, long odds on to run at Aintree and not run here. So therefore, you're saying, you know, he's going to go off roughly 5-1 if he does run, but he's probably, you know, 3 or 4 on to run at Aintree. So that's kind of what you're coming up with. I can't remember, was he 14 or 16-1 initially? Mm-hmm. But I did see when they said he was 50-50 between the two, I went 8-1. And then I made another little adjustment earlier when I saw that Envoy Len wasn't running in the 2.5 mile grade one. So I think that increases the chance of Lace Exhibition switching to that race. You know, so it all then. So I think Tiger Rolls into 7-1 now. And see, I would assume he'd go off. I'd be imagining if he runs, they'll put Jordan Gainford up. And, you know, what I think of him, he was brilliant at Cheltenham. It just gives him a chance. And just with the conditions, Ruby, it says here the top weight in the original handicap and asked time of declaration shall not be less than 10 or 11 stone 10. So he'd actually have to carry it. Yeah.
He'll go up a pound, but if he comes out, then that's the 10-pound rise everything else gets.
Exactly.
So that's a big thing. In some handicaps, for people listening, once the bottom horse is in the handicap, 11-7 becomes the top, it has to be the top weight. It's different in the Irish National, but in most handicaps it's 11-7.
Okay.
So as Ruben says, it's a completely different race if he runs versus if he doesn't run. Because as you said, the couple I fancy would be carrying absolutely nothing. And you know, if he comes out, then it just makes it a completely different race. Because I'm not certain Galvin will run here either myself. So it could end up being Lace Exhibition could go for the grade one, and you could easily find that Court Made carries top weight.
That'd be tough on her.
Look, the other side of the coin is, guys, we're talking about Tiger Roll. The last time he's won a chase over park fences was the 14th of March 2017. The last time he ran in the Irish National, he pulled up. His last run over park fences was in Clonmel in November 17, and he pulled up. We're now talking about April 2021. Now, I know he's won Grand Nationals and cross-country races and hurdles since, but he hasn't taken on Birch Park fences. And his technique of jumping was the reason Paddy Power took him on in the first Grand National. That cost him, I don't know how much, but I hear about it every now and then. How when they mention the Grand National, they all break out in a sweat when they hear the words Tiger Roll. So his style of jumping, having not done it for so long, has to be factored in as well. And I think whether he runs here or at the in the Melling Chase, there is that chance with him, he gets low. And that's why he's so good over the new Grand National fences, which are 2 or 3 feet of loose spruce, and why he's so good in the cross-country races in Cheltenham, which are basically laurel hedges. It suits the way he jumps. And I'm not certain parkland fences have ever suited the way he jumps.
I'd 100% agree. Like, when I say he could end up going off 4-1 for this, I don't think that's a true reflection of his probability of winning the race. I think it'll be more liability management will drive that price, in that he's just such a public horse and they just roll in behind him and back him, that will drive his price down, rather than I wouldn't be interested in backing him. But I do think he frames the race if
he runs. He won't be going all out in 2021 to get back what you lost in April 2018.
I'll put it this way, Ruby, if you're ever involved in a schoolyard fight and a fella bait the shite out of you, you wouldn't go back to get the shite bait out of you again from him.
You might when you grow up, you're the same size.
Yeah, eat a bit and you get to the same size.
4 years later, when you're the same size as him, you might go back and take him on.
I used to just get the younger brother.
Do you remember 4 years ago? Yeah.
Well, Tiger Roll is warming up to for the rematch against Paddy Power. That's what it's all about. I'm sure Eddie and Michael O'Leary have got the "I told you so" ready. If he has pulled up, and I'm sure he's way too far handicapped. Oh, way too rare.
I think it's irrelevant. I think they're completely different races. I think the Aintree Grand National, with the style of fences and cross country fences to a parkland track, they're different. And look, they can trot that line out if they so wish, and mathematically they may well be proved right. But in my own mind, and in my opinion, they're two different arguments.
Okay, look, it sounds like if he does run, you're not massively keen on him, guys. So either way, we're going to get some selections outside of Tiger Row if he does run or if he doesn't run. I appreciate that the weight's very, very different if he doesn't run. But let's talk about some of the other horses. You mentioned Galvin there, Frank, and Ascaria 10. I suppose there's a possibility they could go to Scotland. For some reason in my brain, I've got those Bartlett colours running in Scotland or not. I don't know why. Is there some connection between the Scottish National and those Bartlett silks?
No, they had, what was the horse they went over with that was favoured for a couple of years ago?
Wasn't Simon's, I think, or Ravenhill. Was it Ravenhill?
No,
it wasn't Ravenhill either.
It's gone from me there now, but they had one, went over, it was favourite and well-backed favourite, but disappointed on the day. I just thought the way that National Hunt Chase played out really suited Galvin. It wasn't a real stamina test. And like, if you look at it, he was a 2.5 mile horse, effectively, up until going to Cheltenham and winning that, what I would have thought, relatively weak 3 mile race. And the fact it turned into more of a test of speed than stamina really suited him, particularly on drying ground. And I'm not saying he won't get the trip, but I wouldn't be sure he wants a real, real stamina test either. And I would prefer, between him and Ascaria 10, I'd prefer Ascaria 10 myself. Whether he'll run here, again, is another question, because he's in the Scottish National and he's also in the Grade 1 over 2.5 miles. I think, not sure he'll run in that, but he wouldn't be certain to run here either. Yeah. But again, even if they do run, and if Tiger Roll runs, they're still going to be in around 11 stone. I think there's a couple catching my eye a bit more.
Okay. We'll get there. We'll cover all 98 entries at this stage. We'll get to your fancy. The Tiestes, Frank, has got a very good record, and Cocoa Beach, we know, a novice. Got to have a chance, right?
Definitely does. But as Ruby Luce earlier, he's shown his hand. He was impressed with Tiestes off a mark of 138, but he's now gone up to a mark of 150. That's a big ride, £12. Like, realistically, you know, is he? He needs to have another 6 or 7 at least, probably, to win this. Is he really a 156, 157 horse? I wouldn't be so sure. I think he was a little bit fortunate to beat Espinello Bell up in Navan. Obviously, he jumped the last well, and Espinito Bell gave the right clout, and he ended up winning by 4 lengths. I think it would have been very close other for that, only for that. But again, I just think there are others better handicapped than him.
We'll eventually get to them. Okay, Ruby, let's talk about JP McManus. We mentioned one of his previous winners shut the front door. He's got lots, obviously, in the race. Off you go, 10-10, Schoolboy Errors, Fitzhenry score, Margeri's back, Glen Lowe. Anything in the green and gold that catches your eye at the moment?
Schoolboy Hours, maybe. Think the rest are fairly exposed. Score Mars, an 11-year-old. Fitzhenry was paced to Paddy Power a couple of years ago. It's quite a while since he's managed to even win a race. Did he win a Paddy Power as well? Did Barry Geraghty win a Paddy Power on him? It's been quite a while since he's won a race. I'm actually looking back through his form here. Last encounter, the 18th of February 2018, is the last time I can see him winning a race. Maybe he's won one since, but no, I don't think they jump off the page. I mean, maybe off you go, stepping right up and trip. He won over 2.5 in his last start. Maybe going an extra mile would suit him. He's a dual winner of the, I don't know what it's called now, the big handicap horse in Leopardstown at the Dublin Race Festival.
I still call it AIG, but I mean, it's probably like the Schweppes or something like that as well before
it's
now.
The Pierce.
You know, he's won a pair of those. Maybe he could be the one. No, there's horses I prefer than them. Fancy Espinito Bello. Okay. He's the one for me. I thought when he ran into Cocoa Beach in Navan in February, Cocoa Beach had the run into the Estes. He was a fitter horse. Espinito Bello made a mistake at the last in Navan, I think, which cost him the race. He'd beaten Cocoa Beach prior to that in the beginner's chase at Nace. He was fourth to Janet on his second start. He was second behind Latest Exhibition on his first start. And if you go back even to hurdles, he was second behind Court Maid last March over hurdles. I think all the way through his form in the last while has been quite strong. I was taken by him in Navan, and I think with 10-10 on his back, 7-year-old Barry Connell's horse was starting to come back into form. He's my tip against the field. Okay. A week out at 16-1.
Espinito Bello. Watch out for that one for Ruby Walsh in the Irish Grand National. That's yours, Frank. You've mentioned, or you've kind of almost sort of mentioned, that you fancy a couple. So the floor is yours.
It's one, basically, I just think. And that actually ties in a little bit. Espinito Bello was behind it at Nace, beating 40 lengths, but it actually finished ahead of him on the run previous to that, and is going to be getting £5 off him, and it's a Longhouse Poet from Martin Brazel. who obviously we heard had won the race with number 6 Valverde going back.
This is you raised me up all over again now, Frank.
I was very keen for the
fourth. Wonder with this one on the race, you're tipping in it.
Popping the gold cup instead.
Oh, here, sorry. Tipped up some amount of horses that ran the different race at Cheltenham. And I still can't get over the Sumter. It was like, this is going to win. Then he goes to the plate. Didn't back him because he was too short. Absolutely gutting stuff. But anyway, it's terrible. Shit, look, you got to just get on with it. But Longhouse Poet, I got involved last week when the prices went up where I could. And I think he's got a huge chance. He's unexposed over this sort of trip. You go back, he won his point on decent ground initially. And when you look at it, it actually wasn't too bad. The horse Beacon Do Want to Know is rated in the high, I think maybe around 118, 119. So it was not a terrible point. And he, of course, beat Monkfish in a bumper. Was tried in grade one company last year over hurdles. Wasn't disgraced. He was third to End Violin in the Lawlers and Ace. Was third at Dublin Racing Festival. Beaten less than 3 lengths by Lace Exhibition. Kind of disappointed in the Ballymore. And this year, slowly coming to hand over fences. Was very poor at Punchestown initially. Better when second to Janet Hill, but stepping up to 3 miles at Punchestown over 3 miles, it was actually 3 miles 1, I thought really suited him. I thought he showed a good attitude to beat Run Wild Fred and the big dog. He hit the last fence and still was able to pick up. And that's a good sign from a stamina perspective on testing ground like that. Obviously, Run Wild Fred's come out and been second in the Tiestas. The big dog's won the Grand National Trial since. And he's actually better off for beating the two of them. And they're in around, the same price. He's 10-1. As I just think he's got a huge chance. I really do. Particularly if Tiger Roll runs, he's going to carry 10-3. He'll be like he's running loose. Look, you need him to get into a rhythm early and get a decent position. But like, if he can get in a decent position and still, relatively in contention with 7 or 8 fences to go, I think he's got a right chance. Really excited about him.
Espinito Bello for Ruby and Longhouse Poet for Frank. That is the Irish Grand National. We'll be back in a second and look at a couple of the other races on the Ferry House Easter Festival.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's look at what is boiling down to be potentially a cracking novice chase. We were hoping to see Envoy Allen potentially against Monkfish in this race. Neither appear to be running, but I tell you what, the now called Underwriting Exchange Gold Cup Novice Chase, catchy as ever, folks, 5 o'clock Ferry House on Sunday. It is still going to be a very good race. And is it Ruby Walsh going to see the return to the track of Energumene? He's 8-11 favourite.
I don't know. He worked, what day is today? Tuesday. He worked this morning. But I don't know whether he'll reappear here or away for Punchestown PK. So, look.
Well, tell us. So, I assume we all assume he's okay and he's fine after the blip at Cheltenham or before Cheltenham.
He worked this morning, I'd say. There's a fair chance he's okay. And whatever it was that held, that he missed Cheltenham for the couple of days he missed. But he looks 100%. He seems fine. Whether Willie will chance him or not, I'm sure will depend on how he works again on Thursday, or he comes out of his walk this morning and or this afternoon it was even. Look, he's a hell of a good racehorse. Hopefully he gets there, but look, if he doesn't line up on Sunday, he'll line up a bunch of them.
A lot of people probably would have thought Asterion Forlonge prior to, I suppose, his run at Cheltenham, this would have been the graded race or the grade one that they could aim for, given there was the thought that, he needs to go right-handed. But he actually ran a cracker, didn't he, at Cheltenham? He's currently our 4-1 second favourite. Quick turnaround, 17 days. Is that a worry if he does pop up here, Ruby?
That's right. I thought it was a quicker worry for the horse to finish just behind him. Chatham Street Lad going to Limerick last Sunday, and he bolted in. Now in a much lesser contest than this, but he still looked fresh and well, 100%. Asterion Forlonge, I thought he had a really good chance at the top of the hill in Cheltenham. I thought the way he was travelling, the way the race was had been run with Sham Blue going so hard and opening it up, Embassy Envoy Allen was out of the contest. I actually thought at the top of the hill, wow, Asterion could go and win here, and he was jumping dead straight, but he didn't finish that strongly. He got tired. Maybe he'll improve for it, but look, going right-handed should suit him. He seems to have gotten his jumping back together after two falls. He was fourth to Monkfish, third to Chantry House. He's going the right direction. But I don't know, is his form as strong as latest exhibitions? I don't think it is. Latest exhibitions form is stronger.
He's lost a shoe, Ruby. And we hear this at Cheltenham. We hear this a fair bit. And sometimes it's trotted out as an excuse and sometimes it's not mentioned. For example, you didn't mention it there regarding his run at Cheltenham. There's no hard and fast rule regarding
that's because I didn't know. I was over the top of the grandstand, PK. Anything could have happened at Cheltenham.
Did you not see the shoe from your box, Ruby's little quarantine box at Cheltenham on ITV?
I did not.
So he did. Now tell us, Ruby, because you do hear it sometimes. You do hear, oh, he lost a shoe and maybe lost all chance because of that. But sometimes you don't. And it seems to be no hard and fast rule. It does affect horses. It doesn't. Is there?
Well, I give you the option. Would you prefer to have it or not have it? And of course, you prefer to have had the two of them. Does it make that big a difference? I'm sure it has to make some difference, BK, but I don't know what the scientific proof behind it is. I don't know, has anyone ever analysed the amount of horses that get beat to pull shoes, the amount of horses that win to pull a shoe? I couldn't tell you what the data is. But you would prefer to have it. I'm sure you prefer to have the shoes.
Come on, Frankie. Just
laughing away, saying, can Eddie get a job in Neffet there if you don't know what the data is?
I don't. I mean, think about it. I mean, has anyone even gathered the data? I doubt it.
I wouldn't think so.
Neither would I. So what? Where's the proof? I couldn't tell you, but you would prefer. Obviously, if you pull a shoe off, does it hurt? Well, the hammer the nail's in, so obviously it doesn't hurt going in, so why is it hurt coming out?
Is it a grip thing?
I don't know. It's probably a grip thing, but on soft ground, it's more of a padding thing, I would have said. And a grip thing. I don't know. Let's have a clue.
This is why people are listening in, folks, for this top quality analysis of whether or not a shoe. They wear them. So they wouldn't be putting them on for the fun of it, Ruby. So I think it's fair to say it's not a positive anyway.
No, I would be more worried about hind shoes for grip.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, it was a four.
Front feet, like in fairness, to maybe backing off a fence to take, they might slip in front. But for me, the hind shoes would be more.
Fair enough.
I would like hind shoes for grip.
Fair enough. The race itself, before I go to Frank, it's got a great history. It used to be the Powers, then the Ryanair and all sorts. And Ruby, you actually rode a few really nice horses to win it as well. Ringaree for your dad. And interestingly, Big and Bold for Ger Lyons. And that might surprise a few people because they just assume Ger Lyons flat trainer. But no, he had plenty of jumpers in the early stages, didn't he?
It was the only grade one winner he trained over jumps. I won on him and then they brought him on to the Scottish Grand National meeting and dropped me off him.
For who?
But for Conrad Dwyer. Gotcha.
Never heard of him.
So I'd never let that Ger Lyons forget it. But he won a short head or a neck, actually. Great jumper. Big and Bold. Won it on Voider Rev, did I? 2 years?
Yeah,
Voider Rev, 2 years
17
ago.
Years between those two wins. Big and Bold and Voider Rev. Some great horses. We mentioned Enner Gamine. The other horses, Janadil and Frank de Port. Two remember ran at Cheltenham, obviously in a stern for Lunge and Frank de Port. Janadil didn't. Has this been, do you
he
know
was
this
traveling? Yeah, he was traveling well when he tipped up at the Dublin Racing Festival behind Monkfish, where he would have finished, who knows. Watched him jumping today, he jumped really well. I think the trip was through Frank de Port. I know he ran in Cheltenham, but he never got concerned in the Arkle, so he didn't exactly have a hard race. And stepping up a triple really suit him.
Okay, right. Francisco, your thoughts on the underwriting exchange Novice Chase Gold Cup. It's a beauty.
It really just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I'll guarantee you one thing. We won't be looking back doing podcasts in 10 years going, do you remember that, what used to be the Powers Gold Cup? No. I know it is the underwriting exchange Novice Chase.
Well, as a trader, you should be all over that title, really. does the money at this stage, and I don't know how strong the market is as we speak, but does the money suggest that Enner Gamine's a runner?
We literally only priced it up around lunchtime today, so it's not up very long. Fair enough. We have no idea whether... I think the money... What would be significant when you're watching this market is, will there be money against him? Rather than we've put him in a conservative enough price, I think he's odds on. You wouldn't think, people would be absolutely, knocking down the door trying to back it. It is a relatively conservative price, but if you start seeing money against him, you might suspect that maybe he's not going to run. So just take a little bit of management from that point of view. But from my point of view, looking at it, I think it'd be very difficult to beat if he does take his chance. Obviously, I was banging the drum for him for a long way that he'd beat Shishkin, and as impressive as Shishkin was in the Arkle, I still think he'd have given him a right run. And I think 2.5 miles, no issue for him. He's won over that in Gore and on testing ground. Trip is no bother. He's just a class racehorse. If he runs, I would expect him to win. If he doesn't run, it becomes a very open race. We give you could give a chance to a lot of them. Obviously, latest exhibition for me would be if he takes a chance, obviously he's in the Irish National, but I think he's more likely to run here now than not, considering there's no envoy in. He'd probably be the one who would be default favourite if Edna Grameen didn't run. But yeah, Esther and Forlange, a bit like Ruby, I was a little bit disappointed with how he finished, because like Ruby, I was going, Jesus, he's actually jumping straight and travelling and he's got a chance here. And yeah, he didn't finish off, because you think he's a horse that in time would benefit from stepping up in trips. You would have expected him to finish the race off a bit stronger. But yeah, if he could get back to his very best form, he'd definitely be a player. But yeah, for me, I just want to see Edna Grameen win. And I just want him to race against Shishkin once and beat him so I can be proved right.
Will you not give the Brits something? I mean, they had Shishkin and they had a couple other ones, Chantry House, and I can't remember the other one.
Here, as I said, PK, 1 year of getting destroyed and they're complaining. They say we've only 799 to go.
Rip up the rule book. Knock everything out. The Irish are winning way too many races, lads. We need to change everything. We need these freebies, all this sort of stuff. We need to change everything because the Irish are... Yeah. But we're enjoying it over here, clearly. Anyway, that's for sure. Okay, look, just heads on the block then, folks. Let's assume Edna Grameen runs. Edna Grameen's your selection, Frank. Ruby, you were keen on... Well, you gave Frank Laporte a bit of a shout there that you think this could suit, or would you be latest exhibition, I think you mentioned as well.
Yeah, look, I think Edna Fenegraff, will you choose his own Edna Grameen? He will, without doubt, be the one to beat, and the trip wouldn't worry me either. Outside of that, I don't have a strong fancy, to tell you the truth. I think the strongest, the horse with the strongest form is definitely latest exhibition.
Yeah. And I think Paul Nolan did say earlier on the week that they were keeping an eye on where Envoy Allen was going. So they now know he's not going to Ferry House. So I think that, like you said, Frank, there's a good chance.
But they probably weren't expecting to see Edna Grameen either.
Yeah, that is a fair point. I'd say it's great not being Willie Mullins, isn't it? Oh, yes, Sir Envoy Allen's not running, or Edna Grameen is, potentially. Let's talk about the Mayor's Novice Hurdle Championship Finals, the other grade one, over 2.5 miles, same day, 3:20 Ferries on Sunday. Interestingly, Tell Me Something Girl, who was in the original entries, or expected probably to be entered, is not. So she, obviously the winner of the equivalent race, I guess you could call it, at the Cheltenham Festival, means Willie Mullins is... got plenty here, Ruby, so we're going to have to start with you. Echoes and Rain is our current favourite. Glens of Antrim, Lady Breffni, Royal Illusion, Gauloise, Hookup. A few of those obviously ran in that mare's race. I suppose you could say the mare's race at Cheltenham, a bit disappointing given Willie Mullins' record that none of them featured.
I do believe I did say beforehand, PK, that I wasn't that overly confident. Okay. I think I did, Frank, did I? Medicaid.
You didn't really say there was a standout among them, like, so.
No, I didn't think there was, and maybe we should have brought Echoes and Rain, but Willie was keen to keep the lid on her. She was good in Ace the last day. Will she get 2.5? That's a whole different question. Rosie's Hollow was disappointing in Cheltenham. Glens of Antrim raced along on the pace, but I think she wants this sort of trip, so that could suit her. Lady Breffni got beaten in Limerick just before Christmas. Gauloise was disappointed in Cheltenham, so was Hookup. I'd say Royal Illusion could be the best of Willie's. She's a 9-year-old. But I thought she was good in Leopardstown just before Christmas, or before Cheltenham even, when she beat Sweet Street. She was a good third on her hurdling debut behind Del Vino. She's a rated 94 in the flat. She'll definitely appreciate the drying ground. And the other one I give a fancy that I think is way overpriced is Henry de Bromhead's Atlantic Ferry.
Oh, okay. That is a big price. I'm not sure
who priced this race, but I said I got that wrong.
Frank?
It wasn't me. I'll take the blame for the Irish national.
In terms of this race, as we speak, 7-2 Echoes and Rain obviously didn't run in Cheltenham. But of those that did run in Cheltenham, Rosie's Hollow was 7th. Glens of Antrim just in front of her was 6th. And then in front of the two of them was Sky Ace. So if you want to take that form literally, you should have Sky Ace the shortest priced, then Glens of Antrim, then Rosie's Hollow. It's the exact opposite. Explain.
Well, I think Sky Ace is solid, but I think you know exactly what she's capable of. With Glens of Antrim, I thought she was a bit keen. She definitely has the ability to be, you know, better than what she's shown. And Rosie's Hollow obviously had been decent, beating Royal Cahal and Global Equity previous to disappointing at Cheltenham. For me, I'd agree with Ruby. Royal Illusion was one I thought was interesting, a bit of better ground. Like, I know she's 9, but she was very good on the flat. Like, she was rated 96 after, when she was reassessed after bolting up in the Irish Cesar, which she wasn't disgraced when third in her hurling debut at Naas, but a bit of better ground at Leopardstown the last day. She won very easily. She's entitled to it. It wasn't a great race, but she's a lot of ability. The one standing out to me, actually, I'll just touch on Echoes and Rain. I think if you knew she was going to get 2.5 miles, she's a massive chance. But I'd be worried. She's very keen. And I was just thinking there, I might put it in my cover letter for the racing, what is it, the racing secretary's job in Winnie Mullins?
Yeah.
That I'd be going over to Aintree for that Grade 1 2-mile, because the English 2-milers are useless and she could probably win that.
The entry for tomorrow, so I will send that message to the secretary in Winnie Mullins.
Literally just had that thought there, looking at it, going, she could win it. Like, you look at her form in Ace, she beat Belfast Banter, won the county. Obviously, Streets of Dying was used as a prep for the Albert Bartlett, but he was third in the Albert Bartlett. And she's bolted up. She's really impressive. Might just be worried about the trip. I think she's a low of ability. And then you're looking at the English 2-mile novices. They were appalling at Cheltenham. And you're like, I don't know what would be entered, but she could be favoured for that entry race. And it's, you know, might even suit her better. You think 2 miles flat track. But as I said, if she runs here and gets the trip, she's a massive chance. It would worry me that she is a bit keen. And the one I kind of fell down on as a result was Santa Rosa, who has the back class of bumpers, obviously. She won the Grade 2 mares bumper at Leopardstown a couple of years ago. She went to Aintree then and was third to McFabulous, beaten just under 4 lengths. She was fifth in the Grade 1 Punchdown bumper behind Col Reevey, Abracadabra, Beacon Edge and Embittered. Really good renewal of the race. She's only had 2 runs since in nearly 2 years, third in a maiden hurdle at Fairy House last January. And then she reappeared at Navan at the start of March and she won by 10 lengths relatively easily. And she definitely has the ability to make her mark here. And I wouldn't be overly concerned about her stepping up a trip. I know she's never been 2.5 miles, but she didn't look like she was stopping that day at Navan. And yeah, she just has the back class. She's a proper, she's at least a Grade 2 mare and probably potentially a Grade 1. And I'm just not sure there's a real standout in this race when you look at it. So yeah, it'd be Santa Rosa for me.
Okay, Santa Rosa for Frank. Ruby, if I was to put you down to a selection at this stage?
I just think, looking at Atlantic Fairy on these Paddy Power odds, is 20-1.
Lovely.
She beat Global Equity in Avon. Prior to that, Global Equity had split Heaven Help Us and Tell Me Something Girl at the Dublin Racing Festival. Form is form.
Trained by someone called Henry de Bromhout, who's doing okay with mares at the moment as well. And if Rachel Blackmore is jocked up, 20-1 could look particularly large. Okay, that is the mare's novice on the card. Ruby with the Atlantic Fairy each way, and Frank put up Santa Rosa. Right, give us a little bit of time before we get to listeners' questions, folks, before I let you go into this lovely afternoon sunshine. Is there anything else over the Fairy House Festival that you want to flag up in advance to watch out for? I know there's no prizes on anything else. Frank, I'm looking at you first, because usually that's the source of the at the Oasis.
Yeah, I had looked the 2.5 mile Colin Quinn, obviously hurdle a Grade 2 on Sunday as well. I'm not sure. Mouse Mars is a good few in the entries, but if Gentleman's Game took his place here, big fan of the horse, thinks Bench to be top class, bowls up a cork in his hurling debut. I thought he ran really well at the Dublin Race Festival when he was second behind Gallagher and O'Neill, considering he was a second starter on the rules. The form worked out relatively well. Gallagher and O'Neill was second to Ballymore and Stafford, who was third, finished a credible fourth in the Albert Bartlett. If he takes his place, I think he has a big chance, and he's definitely one to keep in mind for novice chasing next year. He's a horse I really like. And Saturday, the 2 mile Grade A handicap hurdle, a race that I love now, that sort of a race. If she takes her chance, Ruby knows a little bit more than me, Rula Bula, an ex-member of this podcast is involved, so I really hope she wins if she does take her chance. I think Drying Ground's ideal for her. Her bumper maiden hurdle wins were both on decent ground. I thought she shaped a lot better in her finish position suggests when she was 8 in that Mayor's handicap hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival. Ruby's already told us what happened with the form, but Heaven Help Us win the Carl Cup off 138. Global Equity finishing second. She was second in that list of Mayor's Novice at Navan. And Tell Me Something Girl was third winning the Mayor's Novice. And then you had Mrs. Minner falling in the race, who went and won the Portent. So it was an unbelievably strong renewal of the race. And she travelled really well, but just found the combination of 2 miles 2 on testing ground against her. You get her back over 2 miles on good ground, and she's definitely going to win a handicap. And she's been dropped a pound, actually, for that as well. So sorry, I might have just ruined Tom's ads a small bit, but I think if she takes her chance, and particularly with what's the Chris Jones horse in there? Course of Bleans Course of Bleans in the entrance as well. If he runs, she's going to carry a very low weight if he runs as well. So yeah, Rula Bula.
Which race are you talking about, Tom? Frank?
It's Saturday.
The Rybo handicap hurdle.
Yeah.
Would you believe she's also in the novice handicap hurdle race before over 3 miles?
Oh, no.
Frank, you've got history of picking wrong races.
No. Hey, she runs 2 miles. Getting that job at the second she's there, Ruben. As well as that, it's €47,200 to the winner of that 2 mile handicap.
The only problem, Frank, is that 14 is the max runners in that handicap hurdle on Saturday. I have too many above her, Frank.
Oh dear. Well, we'll keep an eye out for Rula Bula.
That's why she was putting the other race, Frank. Good job we don't have you as the race secretary.
I'm just telling you where you're going to win. Like, that's all.
Not much good if you can't get in.
Well, lads, you would have won that race if you got into it, I'm telling you. And you can't prove me wrong. So, you know.
Well, I'd say she's in a 2-3 in Cork the same day as well because of that limit in fairness.
Okay, so Rula Bula, we'll watch now, out unless for her on Saturday.
Sorry, just to correct that, unless there are smaller declarations in the other races, which alleviates stabling capacity in Fairy House, would mean a declaration time, the limit on that handicap hurdle could rise. Due to COVID regulations, there has to be a stable poor horse at the racecourse, and that's why a lot of the field sizes have been diminished this year in Ireland.
We would think about
it. I wouldn't even have thought that. The other thing I was going to say is, there's 17 ahead of her, is there? So she's 18th on the list. Am I right?
She needs four.
Yeah. I'd be hopeful enough you get four out, wouldn't you?
Anyway, we'll see.
If she does run that race,
but if it was left, you mightn't get four more. They weren't entries. That was an early closing race. That race closed a long time ago, so they were scratches this morning. Anybody giving in?
Rula Bula, we will watch out for her. She could run anywhere. She could be in Cork. She could be in Meath. She could be running in next year's Grand Annual.
Well, Donny will say WP Mullins does have four above her in the waves.
Yeah, but they're not home, but they're
That racing section.
Frank gets this job, I'll educate him.
That new racing section might make a mistake and forget to declare those other
three. That's exactly. Those four are then. Look,
in the same race, I'll give you one that I would fancy as long as we don't get rain by the weekend. I would fancy Highbury on drying ground.
Highbury and drying ground for Ruby in the same race. So back Willie Mullins in that race at Fairy House on Saturday. Can we confirm what time that race is at, guys?
Four something. 4:05.
I get 4:05.
4:05.
Yeah, Highbury's actually below her in the way, isn't she? She's even less likely to get
it. Okay.
I'm not sure if they get Rula Bula out to get Highbury in, we will.
You're just trolling me now at this stage.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, we'll keep an eye out for whatever gets into that particular race. Keep an eye on Twitter as well for Frank cursing when Highbury gets in and Rula Bula doesn't. A few questions for you lads before we wrap up this festival focus. Danny Murphy asks Ruby, no idea if it's a footballer, but let's hope it is. Ruby, when number 6 Valverde won the Irish National in 2005, he won it off a mark of 124. That wouldn't get into the race these days. Danny knows his handicaps. Given that class horses like Desert Orc and Flash and Steel won the race in 2005, has the race changed that much in 16 years?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think every year can be different. Do you have... Well, now this year you could have Tiger Roll as top weight. I'm trying to think what was top weight when Comanche Court ran. Good horses have been. Papillon was top weight in it. The year before he won the English National. I rode him off top weight the year before that even, in 98 when Bobby Joe beat him. Papillon was top weight, I think Bobby Joe at 11.6. There was two entry Grand National winners, they were first and second in 99 and 2000. So looking at later years, I'm trying to think, our Duke was a potential Gold Cup horse when he won it. So I don't know, Danny, am I talking absolute riddles here, but I'd say you can pick a lot of Irish Grand National winners that were pretty good horses.
I'd say so. And Scully has one for you, Frank. She did the Tiger double 2 years ago, Tiger Woods and Tiger Rowe. That's Tiger Woods to win the US Masters and Tiger Rowe to win the International. I'm not asking for your golf tip. I don't know why not. But I do want an each-way Grand National double, Ferrier's and Aintree.
Because that's a way easier. it's hard to look behind. Surely Bryson will be a big player in the Masters, won't he?
Dreadful last year. But no, the Ferry Hayes and Aintree is what Anne Scully was.
Well, you know, I'm really keen on Longhouse Poet. Actually very keen on one at a price in the Aintree National. The Crawcap has obvious claims. I think he's very short, though. I think people are taking that performance at Kelso literally. And, you know, he's a stone well in it. The handicappers take literally. And I'm not sure Aso gets 3 miles that strongly in. I have question marks about 2 for gold as well. I just think he might have been a small bit flattered. And while he is well in, I don't think personally he's a stone well in, like the way it suggests. And the one I think is just crying out to be backed, and I have backed him, is Discorama for Paul Nolan. Oh. Now, you go back, he's, you know, kind of, as I would call him, a grade 1.5 horse. He wasn't quite a grade 1 horse. He was second at grade 1 to Delta Work. He's been second at 2 Cheltenham Festivals, and he was third off, you know, a relatively high mark in the Ultima as well. Last year, he stayed. He was only touched off in a National Hunt chase. He was second, beaten ahead by Milan Native with Galway in his first start this season, conceding 4 pounds to him. And then he disappointed at Cheltenham on bad ground. Now, the only thing I would say is Paul Nolan's horses weren't running that well in the first half of the season, and there's been a notable uplift in how they've been running in the last few weeks. Obviously, with Cheltenham getting his winner, but he had 3 or 4 winners leading up to Cheltenham as well. This horse had a wind up, and I really like his chance. I think 33-1 is the best price out there. We're 20. I'm looking at, say, the likes of Manila Times is 12-1/14-1. And if you gave me a match bet between the two,
okay,
I would think Discorama is a better chance personally. 33-1 is massive. And I had a good look at the race, and I don't think it's a very strong renewal of the race. I genuinely think there's not half as much depth as you would have got in other years. And for me, he just reminds me a little bit of Rule the World, with a sort of profile of doesn't win as much as you like, as you would like him to, but he has that class angle. And if he takes the fences, which you never know, will he or won't he? But if he does, I think he's a massive chance.
There you go. Longhouse Poet, and in the Irish National and in at Aintree, you have Discorama. Ruby, John Walsh asks you, I remember Fleming Star winning the then known as Paris Gold Cup, now the Underwriting Exchange, blah, 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 an unbelievable fashion back in 2012. Did they miss a trick by never running him in the King George, or was 2.5 his best trip?
Oh, good question. She looked home and hosed in a savage chase when Tidal Bay chinned him. You could say they did, but... So that's hindsight.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a hypothetical hindsight question.
They missed a trick. Poor L. Peter.
I don't know, did they?
RIP. Well,
they were happy where they went with him.
Oh, I'm sure they were. He was a great horse, Lemon Star. Yeah, fantastic horse. One final one for you, Frank. This from the at Southern Geordie, Jake Clarkson. Frank, looking at the anti-post markets for Cheltenham, why are this winners so short for next year's festival? For example, Sir Gerhard fives for the Supreme versus Vernie Hollow, who was tens at the same time last year.
I'll tell you, Roy. A very poor performing anti-post book from us this year. And I think we have to probably factor in as well that due to COVID and the restrictions, there weren't that many runners. And we've no guarantee that that won't be the case again next year. But like, say you look at the bumper this year, you've got the two, Kilcrut and Sir Gerhard, well clear of the third, who's a mare. And you're literally scratching around for horses that potentially could put it up to them. There's obviously going to be some about Willies and Gordons, you know, come from France, etc., or off the flat, whatever. But I mean, the English horses are obviously below par at the moment.
Some amount of Brit bashing in this podcast.
We're giving them. Well, look, they can mock us about the soccer after losing to Luxembourg during the week.
Did we? What? Never heard of them. That did really happen, Ruby.
Oh,
yeah, we
God,
lost Luxembourg.
It was. But just me, yeah. At no stage do we look like scoring to me either. But anyway, going back to my point, there was definitely a good Cheltenham anti-post-wise for a lot of punters getting the multiples and getting the right horse in the right races, which is something I struggle with massively myself personally. But and multis kicking, etc. And just when you look at even the SP of favourites in races this year, it was a good bit shorter than what you would have tend to have seen normally. Like even Appreciate, you go off 8-11 Supreme. Like you have to go back to dunk whip we are 4-5. Was there anyone that short? Like, normally you'd think 13-8, 7-4 with something short, but like Duvan was 7-4.
Give us the long and the short, the way the man DeBoss spoke much shorter this year.
No, he's given us the long.
I'm giving the long, yeah.
He doesn't give the short, Ruby. We know that, but look, Jake, the only question it's a great question. Answer. You could tweet after.
In other words, you lost your kahunas in the anti post book last year, so exactly. This year you're not taking the same chance.
Exactly. That's literally.
There's only one question I have a short answer for, and that's when Jill asked me, how was work today? And she always gets grand.
Okay. Frank, how was work today?
Grand.
Excellent. And on that note, folks, I am going to say good night, good luck. And listen, do tune in on Friday for our usual tipping from the Horses Mouth podcast for the weekend. A good weekend last week from the lads. I'm looking forward to this weekend. But a great 3 days at Ferriers ahead of us.
Frank, have a good weekend last weekend. You did.
Oh, Jesus. Not one horse I tipped can't anywhere near place.
Well, I'm just thinking, if Frank didn't, I didn't look through the results to see too many horses I tipped that won either, so I'm not sure which one of us had a good weekend.
Two weekends ago was a great weekend.
I was talking to someone saying how happy I was the flat was back, because my horses were getting beaten national hunt distances on the flat. So yeah,
Lads, next one, we just tip up every John Galson horse run on the weekend.
The best tip I gave was a non-runner. At least he didn't lose on that.
Okay, we'll clearly edit this part out to try and get people to listen to this podcast.
Just no point in telling lies, BK. We all have bad weeks.
We're not telling lies, we're just editing.
You can't be deleting your tweets after they get beaten. Leave it up there for people to see.
No,
we are human.
They're very human. But thank you very much, Ruby. Thank you very much, Frank. We will be back Friday. I'm not sure if it's the two of you, but I'll tell you what. I look forward to our next festival focus. We'll be looking ahead to, obviously, Aintree, then Punchestown. These lads, they see a lot of me, and they love it. Thanks very much, folks. Stay well, stay lucky. Subscribe to the pod.